Jesus returning for his people. Folks, I believe in the imminent return of Christ. I believe that it could happen at any moment. And I believe that we are closer than you ever dreamed to the time where we'll hear that trumpet in the sky calling us out to go to be with the Lord Jesus. And so today, as we look into the scripture, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn with me to John, the 14th chapter. And this passage you will recognize is one that is oftentimes used at funerals. Now, that's a wonderful application of it, okay? But those who heard it the first time would have recognized it in its Jewish context. Because what was happening is that Jesus was speaking very intimately to those who belonged to him as his people. And so let's pray together and ask the Lord to grant to us understanding today. Would you bow together with me? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of singing your praises today. Surely your goodness is running after us. And Father, I believe that your goodness is going to call us into your presence so very soon. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to be ready. Father, I pray for anyone here who is not sure whether they are a child of God or they are not. God, I pray that you would speak to that person, helping them to know just how much you love them, to send Jesus to die for their sins, just like you did for mine. Lord, because of that, I can sing with all my heart that you've been faithful to me all of my life. Now, Lord, today I pray that you would help me to be faithful to you in declaring your word. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill me with your spirit, Father, that I might declare your word. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there is a generation of people who will be present when the time comes for the Lord to call his church unto himself. And when we see this, we will have, and I believe we very likely are, okay? I can't say with any assurance that we are necessarily the generation, but I believe that we are very likely the generation who will hear Jesus call us up to himself when that time comes. I am one who believes in the premillennial return of Christ, and that's a theological term. It simply means that before the millennium, Christ will call the church unto himself. There will be a 7-year tribulation time where the Antichrist will be in charge, and folks, everything is in place for that to happen now. In fact, there was a presidential executive order September the 12th of this past month that was ushering in one more step toward the coming of the Antichrist, not the Christ, but the Antichrist. We're living just right on the threshold, folks. We're living right at the time where Jesus, I believe, is going to have to say, this is enough of this, and boom, it's over. And the church will be called unto himself. I've said that this passage that I'm preaching from today is one that's used at funerals often. I used it last week at a funeral because it has a comforting message. It's where Jesus says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now that passage is my favorite passage in all of the scripture. And so I memorized it a long time ago because it meant so very much to me. But when I think about what Jesus was saying, I was very blessed years ago to hear a seminary professor talk about how that this has a Jewish wedding concept. Let me just kind of open it for you. When a Jewish young man would decide, that's the girl for me, he would begin to woo her and try to win her over and show her his heart of love for her. And when they would decide that, yes, they were a match, they were going to come together, they were going to be husband and wife, that young man would go to that girl's father. And when she would go to the girl's father, he would say, "You know, I would really, really like to marry your daughter, Mr. Levin." And he would say, "I'll tell you what, I would be willing to pay a bride price of 5 goats and 10 chickens for her." And that father would say, "Well, that's a 2-heifer girl if there ever was one, you know." And they'd begin this bartering thing. And as they would go through the process, he'd say, "You going to give the 2 heifers? "Yes, I'd be willing to give the 2 heifers. "We'll throw in the goats and the chickens too, and we've got a deal, you know." And so when they get it all worked out, after he's made the deal, that young man disappears. They're no longer seeing each other every day, because he goes back to the father's house. And when he goes back to the father's house, he builds on their mansion, okay? He builds on their home where they're going to live as husband and wife. And when it's all ready, he's preparing for her. Now, I don't know how a guy does that without her advice, but he did it, you know? And so he went and he builds this place and gets ready, and when it's all set, he then plans the wedding. Now, that's kind of backward from our society, where the women oftentimes plan the wedding and, you know, get all of the details done and that kind of stuff. Just a little bit backwards from the way we do it. But that man would do that, preparing for that day. And then, on the day that he has prepared for her, she has no idea when he's coming. Okay, no idea. So he sends forth the friend of the bridegroom, and he goes out through the streets saying, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Behold, the bridegroom comes." And people start throwing back the window sashes and saying, "Who's getting hitched today?" And they want to see what's going to happen, because they want to watch the shock on her face and the joy that she's been anticipating, because, you see, she's been preparing too. She's been preparing her hope chest. Now, let me just tell you, you know, we used to have that tradition in America where girls had a hope chest and all that, looking for the... Most of the time, it was a wish chest. I wish somebody would ask me, okay? But it was... The hope chest was something where you were already betrothed. You were going to get married. You knew it was going to happen. You just didn't know when. So she's getting everything together in her hope chest. And when that day comes, she's going to take that with her back to their home that he's prepared for her. Now, when they do this, he goes to her father's house and stands outside and says, "Rebecca! Rebecca, come on out!" And Rebecca comes out. And as she comes out, she is then knowing, "This is my day. I've been waiting for this. I am now going to be Mrs. Rabinowitz." You know, and so, you know, all of that, she's going to have to change to a weird name. But nevertheless, it's all a part of what's going to happen. And when that happens, he doesn't go into that father's house or her house. He calls her out to himself. They go back, and they go back to the father's house, and they have a 7-day feast. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's a big party that's going to go back when they're at the father's house. And all of her friends can come, and all of her family can come, and it's just a celebration of their coming together as husband and wife. And then after they've consummated the marriage, he will say to his friend, "Go out and tell him that we're going to present the bride now." She's been hidden away during this feast. She's been hidden away. And while she's hidden away, they finally come together. They become husband and wife. And he says, "Go out and tell them we're ready to be presented." And they go and they present them to the whole community who's gathered there for these past 7 days, dancing and singing and drinking and eating and having a great time. And they are now ready to really see what this couple's going to look like as husband and wife. And they're presented, and when they're presented, everybody cheers. Now, some of you are already way ahead of me, okay? Because you see, that's pictured for us right here, where Jesus said, I go to prepare that place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be also. You see, Jesus made a promise. I'm going to come for my people. Now, we get a little more information on that over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Look with me over there. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And I want you to see verses 13 through 18. Every time I start this, I'm reminded of a humorous story that I heard about where, you know, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who've fallen asleep. I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, is what it says in the old King James. And the preacher I heard tell the story was about a young lady that was in the church that he came to do a revival at. And he said, you know, he talked about having a life verse and things that guided you. And while they were after church one evening, he visited with her. And he said, by the way, do you have a life verse? And she said, yes. Said, I've been wanting to be married all of this time. But he said, nobody will ask me. So my life verse is, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren. Now, a little later on, that same preacher comes back to that church, preaches again, and she said, I got a new life verse. Said, what is it? He says, if any man will come after me, let him. So when I see this passage, that always jumps out to me. But verse 13 says this, but we do not want you to be uninformed, ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. That doesn't mean Baptists get to go first, okay? But it says, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. And then the 5th chapter talks about the day of the Lord and reveals to you some terrible things that will happen on the earth under the Antichrist and all of those things. But notice this. He says, I don't want you to be concerned about those who have already died. You see, someone had come to the Thessalonian Christians and told them, Jesus has already come. We've missed it. You are, you know, your dead loved ones, there's no hope for them. And you don't have any hope yourself. And Paul says, don't be ignorant. Here's the order of things. He says, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, for the Lord himself, so that you will grieve not as those who have no hope. Notice the distinction here. Those who have hope and those who have none. Folks, there is a difference. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have hope. If Jesus is coming and you're not ready, you don't have hope. And so hear me and hear me well. He says, don't be like those who have no hope. Now, he's talking about those who've fallen asleep here, and that is a euphemism for those who've died, okay? The brothers and sisters in Christ who had already died. And he said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Years ago, I used to, when I was pastoring in Eufaula, I think I was 28, 29 years old, something like that, a long time ago. And I was, I had an elderly man in my church who had followed some cultic teachings and misunderstood some things about the return of the Lord. And I talked to, you know, I'd say things in a message about my beloved pastor that had passed on is with Jesus now, and he'd come to me after and said, "Brother Steve, I don't believe you're right." He said, I think he's in the grave waiting for the resurrection day, and his soul is sleeping. And I said, no, that's not right. And so I was in church one Sunday morning, and he came up to me and he said, "Brother Steve, I don't know how I missed this. I was reading in the book of Jude, and it says that when Jesus comes, he comes with 10,000s of his saints. If he comes with 10,000s of his saints, how can that happen if they're not already with him?" I said, "There you go, bingo." Now that's a Catholic word, but nevertheless, when we see that, I'm sorry, force of habit, but I, you know, when I was talking to Brother Lineal, that was his name, I said, "You finally got it. They have died and gone on to be with Jesus. And when Jesus comes, they'll come with him." Folks, if you die before Jesus comes again, you'll come with him if you're a child of God. All right? That's just the way it is. Because he said, "Where I am, there you will be also." Guess what? If he's in heaven now, you'll be in heaven now. If he's coming back, you'll be coming back with him. That's what the Bible teaches. And so as we look at this, he goes on and he says, verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep." They've already beat us there. All right? They've already beat us there. I remember years ago at that church in Eufaula, I'd been away from there for about 10 years. One of my good friends who was a deacon there in the church had passed away, and I went to Al's funeral. Al used to be in one of my discipleship groups, and I taught him to be a discipler himself, and I heard a testimony at his funeral where he had gone to the prisons over and over again and taught Master Life over and over again to the prisoners and had led more than 1,000 people in discipleship following Jesus. And when I looked into his casket that day and I said, "Brother, I envy you. You beat me home. You beat me home." Well, let me just tell you, that person who has died is in the presence of Jesus. And we need to understand that, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. When I told Lineal that the first time, he said, "Well, you're absent from the Lord right now." I said, "Yeah, because I'm present in the body. But when I'm absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord." That's what the Bible says. And so when we see this, it says there in verse 15, he says, "If we say this by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." Notice that. There will be a generation of Christians who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Okay? But look at the rest of it. He said, "Will not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first." Now, let me tell you something. Do you know that we still practice the idea of burying our dead with their head to the west? You know why? Jesus will come from the eastern sky, okay? And so they're going to come up to meet him. Then when you got saved, you just didn't get saved in your spirit. And you didn't just get saved in your soul, you got saved in your body too. He's redeemed you. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "The very God of peace sanctify you completely," or "holy. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's not just talking about the living. Because he's going to come back and he's going to call that body out too. And it's going to be changed. In 1 Corinthians it says, "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Folks, that's not the blink of an eye. That's way too long. Okay? That twinkling of the eyes, when you see that sparkle in someone's eye and it's gone. Folks, that's how quickly it will happen. Years ago, I worked at Miami Sales, which used to be the B.F. Goodrich store there in Miami. And I was about 20 years old back when I married this young lady right over here. And she worked in the jewelry department. And that's, you know, it was, I worked a salesman and later a credit manager and all that kind of stuff in the store. I used to work in the back delivering stuff. And there was a guy who used to be the television repairman. They used to repair televisions, young people. They just didn't throw them out, okay? And so we would bring him in. He would repair the televisions. And he'd been in the Navy, and he'd read all kinds of Hal Lindsey books, and he knew a lot of things about Jesus coming again. He said, I'm not a Christian, but he says, I know this. When I hear that trumpet, I'm gonna ask Jesus into my heart. And I said, no, you won't. He said, what do you mean, no, I won't? I said, he will come so quickly that you will not know how quickly it will be, and you won't have time. I said, you'll go to hell. You see, he had a plan. But the Bible tells us, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You don't have a plan that outsmarts God. I've got news for you. And so when we see this, it says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You remember that bridegroom shouting for his wife to come out? That's what he's going to call. And by the way, what's he going to shout? I think I know. He's going to call your name. My sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name. How's he going to call all those names at once? I promise you, you'll hear your name. Okay? You'll hear your name. Sandy, you'll hear yours. Mike, you'll hear yours. You'll hear your own name when he calls you unto himself. And when we go, folks, it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trump. Going on there, he says this. Then we, the rest of us who are living, we who are alive and remain, will be caught up. That word caught up is the word that we get the word rapture from. That's the Latin term for being caught up. But nevertheless, it's the idea that we will be caught up from this earth alive. And we will be changed in that moment in the twinkling of an eye. And this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. You see, God has a plan for his people. And his plan is, I'm coming to get you. When the time is just right. Well, when is the time just right? He knows, you don't. Anytime somebody comes along and says it's going to happen on this date, mark it down. That's not when it's happening. Okay? That is not when it's happening. None of us know. But what we do know is that we're to be ready. For when he comes in the clouds, it says, then we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now notice, Jesus doesn't come back to the earth at this point. He just comes outside the earth, shouts at us, we hear the trumpet, we go up to be with the Lord. And folks, we go into, guess what? A wedding feast. And it's 7 years long, not 7 days. And during that time, we're hidden away. But folks, when Jesus comes back to the earth, we come with him. It's amazing to see that those who would have heard that the first time when Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They were hearing in their own context. And that context was the Jewish wedding. Well, guess what the church is called in relationship to Christ? The bride of Christ. We, the people of God, are the bride of Christ. He loves us. He's preparing a place for us. And let me tell you, I love the beauty of this earth right now. And folks, what we're seeing right now is after God had destroyed it with a flood. I can't imagine what it looked like before. Okay? I just love the beauty of what I see now. And I see that he says, I'm going to prepare someplace better. Now, when you see it pictured for us in the scripture, with streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and all of the, you know, the river of life and the trees that bear different fruit every month and just amazing things. That's just the geography of the place, okay? He's just telling you about that kind of thing because it's going to be beautiful, but just hear me. Jesus is preparing a personal place for us as well. Folks, if he did this in 6 days, and I believe he did, what can he do for 2,000 years as the carpenter of Nazareth? What's he prepared for us? I have no idea, but I can't wait to see it. Because Jesus has prepared a place for us. And he said, if I prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see, he's talking to his people. In the Bible, everybody is not a child of God. Okay? You hear people all say, well, we're all children of God. That's not true. Some are children of the devil. Most. But hear me. A person becomes a child of God by a relationship with Christ where we receive Jesus into our hearts. Now notice I use that word very precisely. I said it before and I'll say it again. I hate to hear people talking about accepting Jesus as though he's become acceptable to us. Folks, it doesn't matter what's acceptable to us. What it matters is whether we're acceptable to him. And what we have to do is we have to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we receive God's gift of eternal life, we become the children of God. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, to them that believe on his name. You're not just a child of God because you're born in this world. I'll tell you, that's a tragic, tragic thing that people believe, and it will take people to a devil's hell. We need to know that we're children of God. I'm thinking next Sunday I may preach on what happens when we die, or are you saved and are you sure? Because we need to know that we really are the children of God. I believe that the time is so close. We are watching things happen, and I could take you over into 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he talks about all the different things that are going to happen in the last days. And folks, some of those things have always been present, but never have all of them been present at the same time until now. We are living in the time where those things that are spoken of as the perilous times that are in the last days, we're watching them happen. Folks, there have been things that have been foisted upon our society that I really believe are precursors to the Antichrist. I believe there's technological things, and that's what that executive order was on September the 12th that President Biden signed, was a technological order to try to move forward with the melding of artificial intelligence with human DNA. Folks, anytime you do that, you've crossed a line. You have crossed a line that is an eternal line. Last time that happened, the Lord sent a flood. This time, I believe Jesus is going to call his church out and let the Antichrist have reign. Amen. Until the end of that 7 years. And that's when Jesus comes to the earth. And folks, that's when his millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 19, that's when that will take place at the end, after the tribulation, at the battle of Armageddon, when Jesus puts it all down and then is lifted up as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Prince of Peace. If you don't know him, you better get to know him, because this is the time. And I believe that we should be listening for the trumpet, should be anticipating our name being called, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, today I pray that if there's some here who aren't ready, that they would say, Pastor Steve, I need to know Jesus. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to the hearts of people who are Christians and yet they've not been devoted to you. They've simply gone through the motions. Father, help us to quit playing games. Help us to draw close to you. Father, may you speak to our hearts as only you can do. Lord, thank you for the promise that Jesus will come again. And Lord, it's an exciting time, though it's a perilous time that we're living in. Help us to trust you. For I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.